This is the Game Buddy Funcast.
Here we go, guys. This is episode 16 of the Game Buddy Funcast, and fall is approaching. So, now, what better way than talk about the great games of fall? Because we know that's when usually the best games do come out. And today's Game Buddy Funcast, we have Mike, a.k.a. the Barroom Gamer, joining us.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. This is awesome. Thanks for the invite. I'm glad to be here.
Not a problem, man. Glad to have you. Let's talk some gaming, indeed. And we have Adam as well. So, how's it going, Adam?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, really, really good.
I hear you typing stuff over there. What you typing?
Sorry. Sorry about that.
It's okay, man. But yeah, fall gaming, guys. It's among us. It's the season. I mean, fall gaming entails new consoles this year. It entails new everything. Sequels, threequels, you name it, it's probably coming out.
I was just going to say, like, yeah, this is a pretty exciting year for video games, seeing just everything that's going on. It wouldn't be as interesting if it was like last year with the Wii U, because not too many people were excited. But yeah,
I was excited for the Wii U. I'm still waiting for those launch windows. I'm waiting for those launch window games to come out.
No, I was too. I was definitely on that Wii U train, but you know, not too many people were, so to say. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely an exciting season this year.
So. We also got some launch window games for the Wii U that's coming out right now. We got a Rayman Legends is finally coming out. That is launch window, right? It's launch window game.
Yeah, and I don't even have a Wii U, and I get to play it now. I'm really excited.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be really good. I've played the demo probably like 5 times. I really, really dig it.
Yeah, the game is getting a lot of great reviews.
Yeah, which is – I saw that it's getting really good reviews, but I know that a lot of internet armchair critics that have the European version are unhappy with it. Apparently, it's substantially easier than the first one, Origins, which I guess a lot of people have a problem with that. And I guess it's about half the length of the last one too. Which
I thought they added all like levels in there and everything.
Well,
like,
that's not including the half of the original that they tacked on with the new graphics engine, but which is cool if you haven't played that one, which I guess I'm suspecting that Ubisoft is kind of, you know, I think that one, I read that it sold okay, but it wasn't a runaway hit, so they probably figured a lot of people picking it up hadn't even played that one, so kind of padded out a shorter experience with that stuff tacked on. But honestly, like, I don't know. Like, technically, I'm an adult. Like, I don't really mind a shorter experience these days. So, you know, that doesn't make or break it for me, at least, you know.
I'm still excited about it, I guess. I'm going to lift my ban on it. I guess I will pick it up, even though I was hating on it that, you know, it should have came out in March, which I've stated several times how upset I was.
Because you were one of the like 100 people that had that system.
I was really looking forward to it. And then my like hype just kind of derailed after I said, oh, well, we're going to push it back because Nintendo doesn't want to market this thing. So we're going to push it back to like fall so we can get that Xbox and PlayStation support on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I felt bad for the developers because, I mean, I would just hear how hard they would work on this game and for it to not come out the day it was supposed to. It gave them all those extra months to tack on all the extra stuff they said they were going to add on, extra levels from the Origins game.
Mm-hmm. I know also there are a lot of salty people online. I guess the Vita version doesn't include all the content from the other ones. So.
Well, good. I'm glad it doesn't. Vita's worse than what the Wii U's doing, so good for them. I'm glad they feel my pain now. At least somebody in Sony's going to feel that pain. And usually if they have a Vita, they have a PlayStation 3 anyways, so I don't know why they just want to pick it up on the PS3.
You know, speaking of that, do you guys know if Rayman's Legends is going to have remote play with the Vita at all?
I don't think it does. I know it has all the touch screen stuff on the screen since it's a touch screen, but I don't think it mimics the Wii U experience. you know, kind of the off-screen stuff. I don't think, yeah.
Well, and if Sony really wanted to make a splash with the Vita this fall, I mean, probably would have been a good start doing that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was kind of a loyalty thing to Nintendo to not just kind of give, you know, right. that whole experience to this other platform. But, I mean, honestly, you know, business is business, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, I definitely plan on picking it up for the Wii U. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be one of those day one buyers. It's just right now my mind is focused on, you know.
It's Halloween games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I'm just getting into the season. And it's just there's so much coming out this fall. And I just wish I just had the funds to just pay for everything, but I don't. I got to pick and choose, and fortunately, Rayman's one of those games I'm going to have to just wait on.
Another thing coming up, let's continue down our Wii U launch window games. We have Wonderful 101 finally coming out, which is Pikmin-esque, I'd like to say. W101, launch window game, finally coming out. I'm right, so glad the launch windows lasted this long for the Wii U, by the way. It really makes me super stoked about this system. I mean, I went to buy Pikmin 3 at GameStop, I think 2 days ago, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy at GameStop says, you do have a Wii U, right? Because you wouldn't even know how many people think this is out for the Wii. It's like, yeah, kind of expected that question. And I was just like shooting the shit with him pretty much about that. It's like, yeah, well, when you name something the Wii U, you could expect those types of questions, I guess.
Yeah.
I might have played around with them a bit. I'm like, really? The Wii? It's not coming out for the Wii? What?
But, it's for that tablet add-on thing that I heard about, right?
How much is that? Is that $50?
$50, right? I'll pick one up if it's 50.
Yeah.
It's a new console. What? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. I did not know this. Does that mean that Donkey Kong Country sequel is also going to be on this so-called system?
You mean I have to spend $300? That's almost a PS4.
Well, if you wait till September 20th, it's going to be $250 then. I do like the price cut on the Wii U, but
no, it's not. They're not doing a $250 one. No way.
No,
they're doing $300.
Yeah, it's $300. They're just cutting out. They're cutting out the basic, and they're dropping the deluxe to $300, which was $350 before.
And I can't talk. They're going to have a Zelda pack, which I don't want. I just want...
But that Zelda tablet looks so cool, though, with the Triforce on it.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it has
Wow, is it gold?
Not the thing itself, but it does have like...
Zelda stuff's usually gold.
Yeah, but the tablet itself's not gold.
Could you imagine having a chintzy fake gold Wii U tablet in your front room? That'd be hilarious.
I'd buy it.
Yeah,
I'd buy a Wii U just for that.
I would buy it and make a chain out of it. So when I'm like rapping, I would just have like this gold tablet. I think that would look pretty good.
You should I'd download some clock app and
I'd have Mario clock. Don't they have little apps like that? Like they did on the
DS.
They don't do that yet.
They should have do a gold 3DS for that new Zelda game that's coming out for the 3DS. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: Can you display just any kind of JPEG on that screen, like a little photo? Does it have that? I don't have a
tablet.
One yet.
Well, you can go to the browser and
pictures. We could just do that and put anything up on the screen. That'd be cool. But so what about this new 2DS? Yeah, we're not making that up, listeners. If you haven't heard about that yet, surely you have.
The thing 2DS is bulky. It does it's a 3DS. It's not a clamshell, so it doesn't clamp down. So it's big and bulky. And it's a 2D. It's a 3DS without the 3D features on it.
Right.
And you play the 3DS games, but not in 3D.
They just totally backpedaled on the whole selling thing for the 3DS. Just like, you know what? Yeah, maybe this isn't that cool, guys. Here's a 2DS. You know.
Well, it says in the instructions like the 3D functions aren't for kids like under seven.
Yeah. Which Nintendo just had such a hard time with their messaging with these their newest consoles. With just conceptually, I think it's very
But the thing about the 3DS is it's selling now. They didn't need to do this.
Well, I think they did, though, because that – I mean, that I really think that's going to be a huge hit.
Well, look on what day it comes out. Look on
Pokemon Day, right?
Yeah, it's Pokemon Day when it comes out. And you know all the little kids are going to want to play their Pokemon on –
I think it's going to be a hit. System. So I think it was probably smart. And honestly, it looks kind of ugly, you know. But it looks like it would be kind of comfortable to me. Like, I honestly don't really like the clamshell design at all. It feels really like top heavy and flimsy, and I would rather just have one slate. But it looks really silly, though.
I can describe for you the very initial impression I had when I saw the announcement, and it was like 2DS. Big clunky plastic thing with the screen, one screen, right, divided into two. The first thing I thought was, that's going to be for my son, because I don't let him play my 3DS just because he has a tendency to get very emotional when he can't.
He'll snap it. Yeah. So here's the thing, though. You were mentioning how it's actually one screen with a plastic bezel divider. I honestly think that Nintendo may have just shot themselves at the foot. I think they could have had the cheapest tablet on the market that just so happened to play great Nintendo games and have a D-pad and buttons.
Well, they kind of needed the divider, though. They kind of needed the divider on. Because that's how the 3DS operates, because it has the bottom screen and then has a top screen.
Yeah, but I think that
the bottom screen's touch and the top screen isn't touch.
They could have just made the whole thing just one touch and without the plastic shell divider easily, and I don't think it would have been an issue going forward for them to have. The games could totally it wouldn't have been a problem. You would have just a lot of black pixels on the bottom half of it, but that could have really made that a compelling purchase. I think if it was actually just all one, it is one screen, but it wasn't divided. I think that could have been really cool.
Well, I think they're just trying to keep with what the 3DS is, what the regular DS is. It's one screen on the bottom for touch screen, top screen.
Well, isn't the thing developing for a different system, pretty much, that
they didn't on the top. They didn't want it to look too good, because then no one would buy the one that's $50 more. That's my theory. But I don't know.
They did it for a reason.
I really hate how on the 3DS the two different screens are different aspect ratios. That drives me crazy. I don't know. I mean, it's silly, but like, I'm kind of a sucker for symmetry and stuff. I'm like a designer, so that stuff bugs me. I don't know. It looks kind of cool, and it comes in cute colors too. It's for the kids, you know.
Well, it's the basic red and blue, dude. That's what 3DS had. I guarantee the 2DS gets more colors than the 3DS does here in the United States. I guarantee that's going to happen. That's going to be a thing.
I saw that someone had photoshopped a fake advertisement that I thought was real. It was Play It Loud. Remember the Play It Loud campaign?
Yeah.
With all the crazy colors? Well, they did that, but it was like a modern take on that, and they had all those like really wild like early 90s or mid-90s colors for that, and it looked pretty sweet. I kind of got my hopes up.
I had the crazy colors.
We had the clear one.
Transparent.
Yeah, I'd get the transparent one. I'd definitely buy the transparent one.
That was very big in the early to mid 90s, was to have like the translucent shell, plastic shell on electronics.
So you can see all the gizmos on the inside.
You're taking me back to my Game Boy days. I had a transparent Game Boy, but yeah, that'd be cool on a 2DS.
Definitely. Yeah, it would almost kind of make me want one if I could get a Slimer Green 2DS.
Slimer Green translucent 2DS.
But
isn't
kind of going back to what we were saying about the Wii U, is it a branding issue with this thing, with the name? I mean, I'm sure it will, of course it will have on, you know, the box, the compatibility, but it's just – the name just seems – I don't know.
I think people are going to know better than this than they would on the Wii U, because they'll say it plays 3DS games. I think they'll make a push. I hope Nintendo learned their lesson and will push for saying that they know.
They just have such a problem with their branding these days. I just don't understand it, because they were you know, everyone made fun of when they announced the original Wii. Everyone kind of scoffed at it, but it was genius branding, and that their new stuff is just so confusing.
Well, they try to catch fire twice. They try to catch fire twice and name it pretty much the same thing, just put a U. Yeah. I mean, it opened up, they should have called it like the Super Wii or something like that. That way it would have been, you know, different enough instead of just tacking on a U at the end of it.
Super Wii probably would have attracted a lot more people just thinking about
it. I would have bought a Super Wii.
That's super, dude. I mean, come on.
I know one of the rumors before they announced it was that it was just going to be called the Nintendo. I think they could have just done that. The Nintendo, you know? Why not?
I think that would have been actually doing it.
Yeah, the Nintendo, you know? That's how they're doing the iPads at Apple now. It's just they're not – you know, remember they stopped numbering them after two? They're just like it's an iPad. That's what we're calling
iPad.
It. Yeah. Yeah, it's iPad.
It's iPad. iPad mini.
Yeah, just buy one. Nintendo. It's the Nintendo. I'd buy the Nintendo.
Just come out with one every year. That's what Nintendo should do. Not really, because the Nintendo would probably tank so bad if they came off 1 year early. Yeah, let's move on, though. Let's get off this Nintendo train, because games are finally coming out now. I mean, Zelda's coming out. Looking forward to that, even though I played the game on GameCube. I want to play it again.
Not me.
So
I didn't finish it on the GameCube, and I seriously doubt I would finish it. It would be any less tedious in HD.
Well, I did. That was my favorite Zelda, I'd say. My favorite 3D Zelda, not counting, you know,
it was fun. It was fun for like the first 8 hours. I really enjoyed it, but then I just kind of got bored with it.
Well, that's how you get with Zelda games, though. You always get that with Zelda games. It's no different.
It looks really good, though. Looks. I mean, that's such a timeless looking game, and to have it in HD,
it still looks. Yeah, it still looks good on GameCube. The GameCube version still looks good to this day.
Well, remember
some other games?
Remember when we saw it at E3 on the, like actually running in real time, it looks stunning.
We say E3, he means E3 at Best Buy, but
hey, it was E3. We saw it.
It was E3, the experience.
Yeah,
but yeah, it looked good though. It did look gorgeous. It was a long demo though, so it kind of
also what a lame. Like you're gonna do a whole boss fight. What was I gonna say about that? Well, I was reading that they are retooling the game to kind of make it more modern and a little bit more –
make it more fast-paced. And
yeah, so, you know –
so you don't spend hours sailing like you did before. They have a fast mode on the boat now.
I think I quit it when you had to collect – what is it you had to collect like to advance? There was some kind of shards or something or I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm done. I don't want to – this feels like work. Maybe they'll
Maybe for someone who loves Papers, Please, you're saying that feels like work.
Yeah, that is kind of funny, isn't it? That felt like work in all the right ways, though. You know, it was supposed to be work as opposed to Zelda Wind Waker that looked like the most, you know, amazing cartoon you've ever seen. You know, you didn't want it to actually feel like a job. But yeah, I'm interested in the game. Interested to hear if it's more fun, because maybe I would check it out if it's a little bit more fast paced.
I'll be picking it up, so just come over. Yeah, I know there's some other games. You see DuckTales, right?
Well, I can play that elsewhere, Sean.
Well, you can just come over to my house. You don't have to pay $15 for it.
True. Well, you're gonna let me like rent your Wii though. Remember when you get your PlayStation?
Oh yeah, that's right. So I was gonna let you rent.
How much are you gonna charge me?
Well, you know, I gotta have that $100 deposit fee on it.
Okay.
Then maybe $50.
Hey, this is what I always wondered about those deposits on game consoles. I don't know if you two ever had your parents rent you consoles, but we did it all the time. And I always wondered, like, it's a $100 deposit. Does that just mean that, like, you could say I lost it and you just got it for $100? Because that's a pretty good deal, right?
No, I think they're going to come at you for the rest of the money.
Yeah, they'll deduct $100, and then you'll have to cough up the rest, I believe. Well,
here's the thing. I rent video games and the occasional Blu-ray from the rental place that's actually like, you know, not a red box, but like remember the old walk-in ones? I'm sure they still have some in California.
Like Blockbuster?
Yeah, but like here we have all the Blockbusters, I think, closed here in Indy. We have a chain called Family Video. Yeah. and they don't require any credit card information at all. So it's like, I wonder how that, but they do make you put a deposit on like brand new, really popular games. They'll make you put like a $20 deposit on it.
What?
But they don't have any, my credit card information or anything. So I wonder how that works.
I think not you just get it for $20 or something then. I guess that's the point. But what else we got coming out? What else we got coming out in fall? We got Grand Theft Auto 5. Looking forward to that. I don't have anything that can play it right now.
Grand Theft Auto 5. I actually pre-ordered it, but then I canceled it. I was planning on getting the...
you live in San Andreas, right? I mean, you live the San Andreas lifestyle pretty much, right?
Oh, when San Andreas came out, I was picturing the actual streets when I was driving around the town, and I'm like, oh, I think this is supposed to be, you know, this part of town. And
wow,
it was an okay depiction, but yeah, it's gonna be nice to go back to San Andreas. It's just
it's gonna be Los Santos, but
which is their LA, right?
But yeah, it's their
Los Santos.
It's gonna be Los Santos. So San Andreas is a state, and you're gonna be in Los Santos, I believe, in this one. Which is supposedly like massive. I think it's like one of the biggest areas they've had in a GTA game.
Well, yeah, I can't remember the figure they gave, but it was massive. It was unbelievable.
Because they like have all the surrounding areas and stuff, so it looks pretty interesting.
I don't know. I think I'm just totally lost interest in those Rockstar open world games. So,
you know what? I wasn't as invested. I was thinking about just kind of like waiting a while for like a price drop on Grand Theft Auto 5. But then they came out with that collector's edition, and you saw that Eazy-E Los Santos hat, and I just thought
that does sound pretty sweet, like a snapback.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow, that is pretty cool. You get like a money bag, and you get like a bunch of cool stuff, and I'm a sucker for those collector's editions. So
I'm
have
to look up this hat. So this is something I keep hearing online a lot is I'm waiting for the inevitable next gen version of it. You think they're
PS4 dropped a hint? PS4
did they? I didn't know that.
They sent out a tweet and they had to take it down, saying it's coming out for PlayStation 4. And then they had to take it down. So
that's I kind of feel this way about all the stuff that's coming out this fall. Is like it's really hard for me to get excited about playing a game on my PlayStation 3 or my 360, just because the new hotness is like coming out in 2 months, and I don't know,
in November,
unless it's like something like 2D like Rayman, which is just going to look good on anything. Like I don't even really want to look at it, you know,
because there's probably gonna be an inevitable port,
right? That's why I'm kind of reluctant to play that game. I would totally play like a PlayStation 4 version of it though, because I'm sure it would look great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When was the release date again for Grand Theft Auto? I thought it was in.
That's September 17th. September. I think it's 17th.
Sorry, 2 weeks.
So I'm thinking. I'm thinking what's gonna happen is they release Grand Theft Auto 5 September. Let a couple months go by, and you know the price of the game is eventually going to start dipping a bit, and you know they'll release that PS4 version, and it's right back up at $60 again.
By the time it is ready for the next gen, they'll have those. The episodic stuff. Now, I wonder if they're going to do the episodic stuff like they did on the last one. Because I never played any of them. If those were full games.
That Grand Theft Auto Online is supposed to be pretty deep. That's coming out 2 weeks after the game releases.
But remember how they did the Lost in the Damned.
Yeah, Lost in the Damned.
I wonder if they're even going to do that.
I imagine they would. I'd imagine they would because it was so successful for them when they did it. I don't see why they want it.
So maybe that will make it a little less of a burn if you bought the PlayStation 3 version to pony up for a PS4 version if you're just getting that stuff.
But then those those conversions. I don't know if you guys remember when the Xbox 360 came out and how on the Xbox you had remember The Godfather?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I remember that game. And,
you know, I actually picked it up on the Xbox, and I was thinking, man, this game is great. And I saw it was coming out for the 360, so after I bought my 360, I was like, all right, I'm going to pick it up on 360 and get that that extra high-definition graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same game. There wasn't any real difference between the Xbox version and the 360 version, and that's right. What I kind of fear about games now.
I think the same thing happened with Bully too, the scholarship edition.
Well, right. Except they threw a little bit of the HD sheen on that, you know.
Right.
But yeah, they added a couple more missions. Bully was actually a pretty good game. I think it's pretty underrated.
It was. Yeah, it was.
And I don't know why I got such bad press, because it's not like you're killing people in that game either.
No, I mean, so. It was. It felt like a what I played of it. It felt like a cheesy 80s like school movie, you know, like almost like Meatballs or something. Where yeah. You're just kind of like, you know, going on panty raids and stuff like that. The kid was a jerk though that you played as. I didn't like his face.
He had the heart of gold though. He was the kid of the heart of gold by the end of it. Depending how you played.
Okay. Yeah, I never finished it, but
yeah, I never actually played that one when it came out.
I'm waiting for a new Red Dead Redemption. That's what I'm waiting for. Rockstar, yeah, get on
that.
What's the
deal? That game was such a smash hit. They kind of have to make one, right? But what would it be? Because this one, the last one was like 1911. I'm thinking they will go back, so it would be a prequel. Obviously a different character. But I don't know. What do you think they'll do for that?
Oh, I still think they got some time. Because Red Dead is still a great game now. it hasn't gotten old. Not for me anyways. I mean, I think the best I could come up with is I would think it would still be in the same time, just a different story.
Different location, different yeah. story. Maybe put it like in Arizona or New Mexico or something.
Right. Something like that.
I really like the Red Dead Revolver, the one that Capcom actually kind of – they just sold it off to Rockstar. A lot of people forget about that, how it was originally a Capcom game. But I always thought that one was actually really fun. Totally different style than the Redemption, because it didn't have any of that kind of wacky Japanese Capcom-iness to it, the sequel, naturally.
Mm-hmm. I know this is a little bit off topic, guys, but you should see Kenji Inafune's new Kickstarter project.
I did, yeah. What do you think about that? That looks promising.
It's the Mega Man game I wanted for like years that Capcom never did.
Yeah. I really wonder if there's going to be some legal problems there.
He's making all new characters. There's not really anything legal about it. I mean, maybe in the same vein, but you know, he created the damn thing.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure like the character looks different enough, but it is totally Mega Man, though. Right?
It's Mega Man, yeah.
I've only heard about this, but I've been trying to prepare myself to like dig in and research this this game, because yeah, I did hear about it, and I'm thinking. This is probably, yeah, like you said, this is the game that we're all waiting for, just from what everyone is saying.
And he's asking for about 900,000.
He's already there in a day. He made 670,000 in a day.
So I guess I don't know the Japanese yen strength, but that's like over a million in Japan. So that's a pretty good budget. I don't know.
I'm excited about it. It's a Mega Man game I've been waiting for that Capcom hasn't delivered on Mega Man's 25th anniversary. So,
yeah, I really have to. He really has balls to kind of, you know, go out there and especially put it on Kickstarter and just kind of.
He's really.
Hey, Capcom. He's really. Look,
yeah, he's really.
I raised $1 million in 2 days for this. You know, you snooze, you lose. But the character design looks really, really cool. It really does look like kind of a modern take.
On
Mega Man, yeah. And they have all, like a lot of the original artists and everything. It's called Mighty Number 9.
Yep.
Classic style side scroller, yeah.
So there's got to be 8 previous numbers after that for bosses, I guess.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of the guy, the character. I mean, he has this, I mean, he's blue.
He's got the Mega Man boots.
I mean, yeah. But Inafune, he actually created the character, didn't he?
Yeah, he created the character.
So I mean, that's it's his thing. So
who cares if they have the rights to Mega Man? He can come up with characters almost like it and still get away with it. And they better not do anything about it.
I wish that the guys that originally made Street Fighter would do kind of the same thing, where they just they're kind of making a new Street Fighter that isn't, you know, in name.
Yeah, the thing is though that they still do Street Fighter games.
Yeah, but didn't you see that the director Onasan, like not even a month ago, said that they couldn't even afford to make to greenlight a new or Street Fighter V yet. So I don't know. He's an infamous internet troll though, so you can't really take it. But he has fun with that though. I'm not saying that in
I like Ono.
Yeah, I like him too.
He's probably my favorite person still at Capcom.
Well, he's the only cool guy left there. Yeah, which is a shame. They used to be great. They kind of scared all their talent off.
Yeah. Well, what else? We got Call of Duty Dogs coming out, guys.
Yeah, I'll play that. I think that looks fun. Yeah. That looks amazing.
That might be a title I'm going to skip out on. I'm personally not one of those Call of Duty fan guys that go and picks up, you know, the latest Call of Duty. I'm just, I don't know. It's when I play a video game, I kind of just want to stay out of.
Hey, you're gonna buy this Call of Duty because it has a dog. It's gonna die at the end, and you're gonna feel really, really emotionally tied to this dog when it dies, and you might shed a man tear.
Here is my ritual. I just go and rent the newest Call of Duty and play through the campaign and an afternoon because they're about 3 hours long anymore. And have a pretty good time for about $4 or $5. But that's the full extent of my Call of Duty fandom. I don't even touch the multiplayer stuff. You know, they're just kind of like they're decent little arcade shooters is what they feel like to me. It's like whack-a-mole, you know, with the gun.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of just like renting it and beating it and then taking it back.
You're like – totally satisfied for $4 or whatever. Like, you're like, okay, you know, here's a good Saturday afternoon, I guess. See what they've been up to.
I'm not denying that it's one of the most anticipated games of the season, though, and there's going to be a lot of people picking it up. So,
You know, it's going to sell well. Being honest right there.
It's still a huge hit, but I think the numbers are starting to wane on it. It's kind of starting to.
We'll really find out with this one that comes out because Black Ops 2 did pretty well. I think that set the record again. So we'll see. We'll see after this one how they are looking after this. If they want to put it to rest for a bit, which I think they probably should.
It's kind of hard to do that when you're making like $1 billion like in one night, though, you know, off of that stuff.
Yeah. You also got Pirates Creed 4 coming out.
Wait, what?
Creed 4.
I'm kind of excited for this
Assassin's Creed.
I'm not a fan. I didn't like the boat stuff in 3, so I could really care less about the boat stuff in 4.
Hey, you know what? I'll say this much: I'm not a fan of that series, but the PlayStation 4 version of that looks really, really good. Like at least technically.
Yeah, it looks beautiful, and I enjoyed 3. So I mean, picking up 4 for the PS4 is going to be one of my priorities this
I played this the fall. First one.
Winter.
I thought it was interesting. I enjoyed it. And then I kind of lost interest with 2, even though it was a good game. But I don't know, man. Pirates are always fun. So I could maybe give that one a shot if I got a PlayStation 4. I may come back to the series.
Well, yeah. One of the flaws with Assassin's Creed, I think it's just – to actually be able to go finish an entire game because the game's so long.
Yeah.
But, and it can get a little bit repetitive here and there, too. So 3 was a little tad repetitive.
I heard this is – they're actually calling this one 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been kind of like a fan reaction that I've seen online that it shouldn't be numbered. So – because I wonder –
I see it more of as a spinoff, but –
Are you still Desmond on this, you think?
I don't know the way the three ended. Yeah. It's hard to say. It's hard to say out whether you're going to.
Just from a story standpoint, I don't really see how you can really make pirates and Freemasons work. They're Templars, right? Knights Templars.
Yeah, Templars.
How that works with pirates, you know, the whole Dan Brown thing. But I don't know. Looks kind of neat. Give it a chance.
Yeah, I picked up Assassin's Creed 3 on the Wii U. I actually didn't initially buy it when it first came out. And Assassin's Creed 3 just kind of revitalized my interest in the franchise. Because, yeah, the first Assassin's Creed, I played it, but I didn't beat it. I didn't get through it. I got tired of it. And
it was so repetitive.
Yeah.
It was like a proof of concept for a game. It didn't even feel really finished content-wise. But, man, that was like one of those early it was next gen back then. One of those early 360 games, though, that like, man, it really did feel like you were playing on a new system, you know?
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looked great. It was a cool idea. It was cool.
Game I'm really looking forward to is coming out too, but it's going to be a little smaller scale. It's going to be the new XCOM expansion, The Enemy Within. Really excited about that game.
Do you care about the Bureau?
It's not really an XCOM game.
And it's out, right? And it's probably not good at all, right? Because no one's talking about it.
It's been getting horrible reviews, and it's not XCOM. It's a generic third-person shooter that's set in the XCOM universe. Hate to say it, but you know that's just the way it is. But really excited about this because I loved when they did the reboot on Enemy Unknown. I like that reboot because I played the originals back in the day, and it was different, but you know it still felt like XCOM.
All right.
You still cared when your units died. You cried a little bit on the inside when you had some beefed up unit and then he gets killed.
Hey, Sean.
What's up?
We're going to have to edit this out, but I forgot I have to go get Shane.
Sorry, we've been rapping for about 30 minutes, so we can probably wrap it on this segment. We might do some more recording sometime next week. I don't have an exact date. If you want to come back on, Mike.
If you guys will have me, I'm definitely up for it.
We can keep you for that the whole episode. We'll come up with something else for the next two segments. But let's go ahead and wrap this up. But you know what, guys? I think that's going to probably wrap us up here on our first segment. So we're going to be back after this. Mike's going to continue to join us, I believe. You know, we'll see how time goes and looks. But, you know, we'll see you after the break, guys. You guys stay classy.
See you. Genesis
done. 16-bit arcade graphics. You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis done. 16-bit sports action. You can't.
Joe Montana free, Pat Riley free, Buster Douglas free, Super Monaco GP free, or Collins free. What
Nintendo? Welcome back to the Game Buddy Podcast, guys. You know, the last segment we talked about what's coming up in fall, but we also know what else has come up in fall. That's right, two more deaths of a systems. Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll rock it. We have the Xbox 360 that we're going to pay respect to first. And after our next break, we'll get into the PS3 and talk about that some. You know, still joined by the same group as before. So here we go, guys. Xbox 360 had a pretty hell of a run, didn't it?
I loved it. I picked it up not that far from its launch. But when I picked it up, it was an IRX. So it didn't last me very long. Before ended up getting the red ring in like a couple months.
Oh yeah,
which was like the biggest problem that anyone can get at that time. But yeah, it was definitely fun. I ended up buying another Xbox, and then 2 months later, that got the red ring. So I ended up sending both to Microsoft. They fixed them both for free, And as of today, I still have one of them. And it's like on life support now, but it still works.
I think it's fitting that we opened up the table on the 360 by addressing the hardware failure, which was will probably be remembered as a big part of its legacy with the Red Ring of Death, yeah. Which I don't know, John. Did you, Sean? I know you've had it. I had it happen to me. John.
Yeah, I had it happen to me once. I got the refurbished system, and yeah, it's been rocking ever since then.
That has to be one of the biggest, just kind of a lemon, isn't that what you call it in the industry? It has to be the most popular piece of consumer electronics that was a complete piece of crap, at least the first 2 years, right?
First 2-3 years, yeah. Until they did the next one.
And it's really, I think, a miracle that they ever kind of distanced their reputation away from that, because I remember back then, that's all you would hear about was how much of a piece of crap that system was. But you know, like I said, they kind of got away from it.
It just overheats. It just overheats.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did it by basically, you know, taking care of any and all, you know, Red Ring of Death, like, you know, by extending your warranty for an entire 2 years. So, I mean, they took care of their consumers.
It was a pretty painless process, at least when I kind of early on, it seemed like it was, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, they sent you out the coffin and they took care of it pretty quick. But yeah, that was weird. That was really, really weird how much that thing failed.
Yeah. And also, I think, let's go back into Microsoft. I think they really killed it with the online, like the online support that they had with it, right? They had, I think it's was by far superior to the PSN. Like PlayStation and Sony was pretty much trying to keep up the whole entire time this generation to stay in line with that.
There's a huge difference between the two services, though, right? One of them is free and one of them's not.
One of them gives your credit card information to hackers, and the other one doesn't.
Yeah. So I'm a little reluctant to.
We'll get into that, John.
I'm a little reluctant to applaud Microsoft's online policy.
You had to pay for it, but it was just a far superior.
I think if you're a sucker, like, and you can look past, you know, paying for something that's free elsewhere, then yeah, it's probably really good.
Hey, guess what's going to happen next generation? It's not going to be free for Sony.
But at least, and you know, this is, you know, I'm not a fanboy of anything by any means, but at least they're not putting like the Netflix and all that stuff behind the paywall. I respect them for that, but that's off topic. We're talking 360. I can't really speak too much for it. I only had it for a little while, the Live Gold.
It was so good.
So is it worth the, it's like just a couple of dollars if you actually pay, you buy like a whole year, right?
Yeah, it's just not bad. Right. It's like maybe like a price of a video game or something if you like for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, so you don't buy a game for a year, you know, big deal.
Yeah, it's like $50 a year, isn't it?
Yeah, 50, 60, you know, I think it was 60 probably when it first came out.
I think that the legacy of that system, at least for me, it's going to be all about what they did for, like, downloadable games. Like, they really, I think, spearheaded that whole movement of those smaller $10, $15 games that are like, for me, were like the most exciting new things that happened this generation. Like the, you know, Shadow Complex, Geometry Wars, like the Xbox Live Arcade experience.
Pretty good. Definitely.
And and I don't think they get enough credit for that because they're starting to kind of push away from that whole thing, it seems like. Like their focus isn't really big on the downloadable kind of smaller studio stuff.
Well, you know, they kind of lost that support. That's the only reason I feel like they're getting away from that is they lost that support. Yeah.
Well, here's a really good example. Summer of Arcade, that used to be hot. Remember? Every game in that used to be good. Every game was a must-buy, at least for me. And if you look at this one that just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, it was really sad to see them do their last 360 Summer of Arcade with just a bunch of trash. you know, whatever. Yeah, maybe it'll come roaring back with the Xbox One. I think it probably will.
Yeah, I initially ran amok with the marketplace when I first got my Xbox, and I was just downloading anything that became available. And then I just got to a point where I just was like, I can't do this anymore. And now, since I got my PS3 and the online services were free, I kind of just steered clear from Xbox Live and like paying for it. And I kind of just got over the Xbox marketplace. So yeah, I would say it was the marketplace was strong in the beginning, but right now it feels like it's just like dragging.
I think I like how on the 360 marketplace, they will try to sell me a music video that I can watch on YouTube for nothing.
Yeah,
they'll be like, go buy this new Katy Perry video for like $4.
Well, like, about the
who's buying that stuff. You know?
I don't think I ever got over the fact that you had to buy things with points and not dollars. Like I just,
which
I
they
didn't
got rid
like
of.
That fact.
Did you see that?
That's gone. Yeah, a month ago.
Got rid of it.
No, like a week, I think.
It's like a week or two ago. They finally got rid of it. Yeah.
They gave me a free. They gave me a $1 bill credit.
I think I probably
because
had,
I had
like
some
that
leftovers.
Too,
yeah. But, that,
I never liked the fact that I was buying points and not just wasn't taking my money and purchasing with it.
I think that the 360 was it's just very anti-consumer, and this has come from someone that has like all of his third-party games on it. Like I love the system, but it was always very anti-consumer. I thought, but that's just my opinion.
Controlling the thing was good for what it was. D-pad sucked, but
You're talking about the controller.
Worse.
That's the best controller I think ever, though. Minus
the D-pad. Yeah, I'd say. Yeah,
dude, it's 2013 though. It's like I don't really think like they don't design most video games for D-pads anymore. So I don't. It didn't really bug me. You know.
Well, if you're trying to play like a fighting game or something, because fighting games.
But if you're gonna if you're ever gonna play a fighting game, you know you're gonna be playing with a stick though. If you're serious.
Yeah, so, if you're serious, yeah. But
I feel like if I'm just
like trying it out before I want to get serious into it.
But even platformers, like I think a good example is Super Meat Boy, which is like the twitchiest massacre platformer. Like they went on record saying they designed that for an analog stick, so. I didn't really play too much this generation that really I wanted to use D-pad. That's why I can't really fault it. But it is terrible, the D-pad. Everything else, though, I thought really, really good. It's a good feeling controller. It's got some heft to it. The buttons are okay. I think the buttons could be a little clickier.
I don't know. I like the jelly buttons.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're not bad at all. But so the controller, okay. I'm sorry. What was that?
No, well, I was just going to ask you guys, did any of you guys pick up the Tomb Raider controller when it came out? The limited edition? That D-pad actually is a lot more easier to use than like my regular Xbox 360 controller, and I find myself using the D-pad a lot more on games using that controller.
They've experimented with the D-pad on it. Like there was a European FIFA controller. It was just a regular 360 controller. I had a friend that had one actually. It was like a lime green 360 controller, but it had like a slightly like more clicky D-pad. And I guess it was supposed to be for FIFA or whatever. But it's. Yeah. They also did that one. What was the silver one that came out a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
The pop-up D-pad. I've never experienced that one.
I never played with that one either.
They've at least kind of tried to address it. I'm interested to see what the Xbox One D-pad's like. Apparently, it's not bad.
Well, they went to the cross D-pad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm somewhat surprised when Nintendo's copyrights or patent expired, they didn't go ahead and release a controller for the 360 with that D-pad.
I think they were already moving on. I mean, we may see one now that it's gone, and once Xbox One releases, they may go back and do a 360 controller like that. I mean, it's kind of just wait and see at this point.
So let's talk exclusives. which I think a console's legacy lives and dies by like what exclusive experiences they had on it.
You had the Cogs of Battle games.
Gears of War was pretty good for the first two games. I thought that was, they were pretty fresh when they came out. I enjoyed the first two. What else?
I mean, you gotta talk about Halo.
You gotta talk about Halo.
Yeah, I don't. Halo.
There's several games released in Halo.
Hey, remember when Rare was like struggling to be relevant, and they put a handful of games out on the 360?
That Banjo game was terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was terrible. It just wasn't what anyone wanted.
Nobody wanted a Lego.
Nobody wanted Banjo that. Game. Yeah,
they wanted a platformer.
But you know what? That game has like, and the same goes for Cameo and Viva Pinata. Those have like some of the best graphics on the system.
Oh yeah, I love
really good engine. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Viva Pinata. That was a great.
That was a neat game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was different.
I always kind of wish they would have done something with the Kinect with that. Oh, that could have worked.
Wonder if it's gonna make a comeback this next generation.
I think they probably have given up on all that Rare stuff. There's a rumor they're going to do a new Banjo.
They need to get on that new Battletoads. That's what they need to get on.
Why isn't Rare making that new Killer Instinct? They've got really nothing better to do.
They want to work on their Kinect sports game, dude.
Yeah. Which, you know what? Those are not bad. They're not
bad.
We'll
get into that elephant in the room in a little bit. About Kinect. We'll talk about that here in a bit.
I feel like we're missing a lot of crucial exclusive. Oh, Shadow Complex is probably one of the best, I think.
And for the first two, Mass Effects were exclusives.
Yeah, the first two Mass Effects were exclusives for the longest time.
They lost a lot of exclusives. Dead Rising was an exclusive.
Mm-hmm. They got BioShock, it back, though. They got Dead Rising back, though.
BioShock was an exclusive. Well, timed exclusive, you know, in hindsight, but
they did a lot. They didn't really hit for what they lacked on exclusives. They made up with the DLC exclusives, like the DLC would come out first, like on the Elder Scroll games. The big example.
They even got exclusives on, timed exclusives on like Call of Duty stuff, didn't they?
They had Call of Duty. Yeah.
Yeah. Downloadable stuff is good though. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say one exclusive I did enjoy was Dead or Alive 4. That was actually one of my favorite games on the 360. And, I mean, it's not an exclusive now, but, Dead or Alive 4 is, but Dead or Alive 5 is for, like, everything. But, yeah, Dead or Alive 4 was definitely one of my favorite exclusives on the 360. I thought it played well online.
Look great.
They also had Ninja Gaiden, too, was an exclusive.
Oh, yep.
For a while, for the longest time.
And then, 2 years later, it was on PlayStation, or something like that. It seemed like it was a long time.
Said, they didn't really have too much exclusive-wise, but what they did have, they were pretty quality games. I mean,
they have the downloadable stuff, which
was killer. They have the downloadable games. They had some, Shadow Complex, like you said, was an amazing game.
Geometry Wars. They had Castle Crashers for 2 years or so as an exclusive, which was a huge hit. They had Fez for a while. That's kind of a reoccurring theme for the 360 that kind of just really timed exclusive stuff.
Eventually, I think they just wanted a larger piece of that market, and they just went out to Sony.
You know what the 360 had a lot of, and that was they had a lot of third-party versions of games that were significantly better than the PlayStation version.
Right, that's honestly what I cared the most about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking over at my collection, and it's like I got everything on 360 because it seemed like especially the early on, because
they were developing for 360 opposed to the PS3,
and the PS3 was so hard.
That's why they had the better ports.
I think a really good example was Bayonetta. Yeah. Apparently, that was just complete trash on PlayStation 3.
And plus, they'd have to dumb it down a little bit for if they developed on the PS3 going into the Xbox, because they had a little more stuff. So it just was easier to go 360 and then port over to the PS3.
And you know one other thing about the 360 is it totally revolutionized motion gaming.
Yeah, we're going to get to the Kinect. I thought the Wii did that.
Well, you had to have a controller. Your body was the controller. Wow.
Oh, and you hyping son of a bee.
And honestly, I think that Xbox 360, like Microsoft, did a good job of the user interface evolving over the lifespan of it. You know, like you start out with the blades. Actually, I know. I guess some people actually liked
the Yeah, blades. I liked the blades. They were pretty good.
Then you go up into you got the avatars that Rare worked on when they did their first dashboard update.
It was kind of hard to make one that didn't look like a douchebag, though, I noticed. Like, they have no personality, and they all smirk and kind of stand with their hip out. Have you noticed that?
Kind of assholes.
As opposed to the thing that they were copying, the Miis, who were always – it made everyone just look like a chibi little Japanese character.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Which I think we all know is far superior than being a jerk that throws his hip out.
And to me at least, the most impressive thing about the 360 was its kind of evolution from just a purely – gaming console to basically one of the centers to my media multimedia centers, without it being intended to be at the launch. That it's amazing how good of a job it does.
Well, now. They did, and they did the Netflix stuff before anyone did. I think so.
Yeah,
which is huge. I think that's probably the biggest story coming out of this generation is how these systems turned into multimedia. The infamous one device, living room device that Microsoft has talked about for 15 years. I think it kind of happened, didn't it?
Yeah.
With this.
Once they started putting the apps on there, I mean, it's just simple. Just go download an app.
I mean, Netflix was huge. It was, that was just like a game changer
when it first came out. NBA TV and MLB TV on there.
Well, did you know that the Xbox One I just saw is the official console of the NFL?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what they keep saying. They keep shoving it down our throats. But it doesn't really matter because, I'm not going to get Sunday Ticket. I am just going to watch my football games.
I feel like the Xbox brand is like it's a dad console. It's for dads.
It's for dude bros.
It kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
It's for dads.
It's not for the nerds anymore. It's for the dude bros.
Yeah, totally. Like the bros at work, they're all already clamoring for the Xbox One. They're not even considering the
cool
PS4.
Thing about it, though, with the Xbox brand is that it always has, the weirdest, most niche Japanese stuff on it, though. Like, 360 got, all those really, rare, cave shmups and all that stuff, so... It kind of has a pretty broad spectrum of stuff, I think, which is cool.
Something I think that is completely overlooked with the 360 is the fact that it was the only console you could actually, customize the way it looked. They had those sweet
faceplates. It's a shame those never went anywhere because that was kind of cool. Pre-order bonuses, and it was a neat idea. I think
it just never caught on because nobody bought a faceplate for their system.
When you got a 360 and it had that video preloaded on it that had James Cameron talking about how cool it was, and it had a clip from Titanic in HD. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was it was like a launch.
You first got it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It had like a little video where they talked about the making of it, and it was kind of neat.
Speaking of which, you guys remember those HD drives for DVDs?
Yeah, I was team HD DVD. I'm still team HD DVD. That was a hot format. Why would you want Blu-ray when you could have DVD too, which is what it was? That was what it was. There was a branding issue there. It should have just been called DVD 2, the sequel to DVD, because it was.
Been called Beta DVD.
Do you remember the logo for HD DVD? It was the same logo for DVD. It just had HD on it.
And it was the brown outline on the boxes, right? As opposed to the Blu-rays and their blue.
I didn't have the attachment, but we had an actual HD DVD player at the crib, which doesn't work anymore, by the way. And it was cool, but I always wanted one of those. I wonder if I could get one of those for dirt cheap.
You know what? I went to a game store 2 weeks ago, and this guy had one, and he was selling it for $25. And there's this customer that came in, and he didn't really know much about the 360, but he had one, and he was just looking at this little box, and he was like, "This is for the 360, and it plays movies." And the guy's trying to cheat him. He's like, "Yeah, it plays movies and all that."
Plays Blu-rays, man.
I just needed to step in, and I was like, "You know what? You can't even watch regular movies on this thing anymore. It's been stripped. Even if you hook it up to an Xbox, it's not gonna work. It's more of a collector's thing now." And totally just called him out because I kind of felt bad for the guy. He was about to get cheated, and I mean, $25.
Plus, where are you gonna find some HD DVDs
anymore? Oh, they're everywhere. You can get them on. I bet you go Amazon right now and get them for 99 cents.
What I always thought was funny is on the last season of Chuck, they had like they used as props these empty HD DVD boxes, probably because there's like so many that were, because at this point it was already discontinued. I just thought that was funny. I know no one
cares. They're always watching Chuck. City of Heroes on that too.
So check this out, guys. I'm looking right now on Amazon.com. I don't know if you're familiar with the series Planet Earth.
Yep.
Did you ever see that? It's wonderful. It's like one of the best things ever.
I have the whole collection.
Well, check this out. If you had an HD DVD player attachment for your 360, you could get the entire collection for 50 cents. 50 cents.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's 9 hours and 10 minutes of like life-changing visuals. 50 cents. Let's see what else we have here. The Bourne Identity, 268. Blades of Glory, 289. Oh, remember Mystery Men? 499. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, you could get the first season of Heroes, $10. Like, the Doom movie, $8. These are brand new, too. I need to get one of these. Didn't it come with, like, that four-hour Peter Jackson King Kong movie? Wasn't that the pack-in?
You know what? Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was, yeah. It was cool, man. I thought it was kind of crazy. Like, they were almost like, didn't that feel really Sega-like for them to be like, here's an attachment, plays movies.
It does seem like
it would have been better if it was an attachment you actually installed your Xbox 360 into rather than just like have it off to the side.
Yeah, if you put it on top of it, mm-hmm. and then they had another attachment they had to put on top of that as well.
Well, remember,
that would have been a very Sega move.
The rumor was that they were going to put games on it. Like they were going to 32X CD it and be like, you can get the HD DVD version of Gears of War 2 and it looks better. That was a really fun rumor at the time. It's a shame it never happened.
Before it died.
Yeah.
Man, and at that time, when I first saw Gears of War, I thought it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It is. Like, and it still looks good. Yeah, I think.
It's like, how are you going to make that look better?
Mm-hmm. If you go back and look at that first Gears of War, it's so stylized with the way it looks. Like, it looks like a music video. And it's like, it's still like, to this day, it doesn't look dated at all, which I think is cool. The second one, too, it was a lot more colorful, it seemed like. 360 had graphics. It really did. Remember the, you know what actually sold me on the system where I was like, I have to go out and get one of these. Is the first time I saw the Fight Night demo.
Oh, man. Oh,
that still looks amazing.
Yeah, put that on today, and it still is like one of the best-looking things out.
Yeah,
I think it's just because – yeah, it's just two characters, so you can put all your polygons into them. But it's still
– that sweat.
Mm-hmm. And remember when that team, that same team that made that Def Jam Icon game? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember
it was awesome. It was like a rhythm fighting game, really weird, and it was all analog controls, and you could play as Little John and T.I. and Young Jeezy, and Anthony Anderson was the villain.
Did you enjoy that one? Because
yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really cool.
I mean, I love Def Jam, and I love Def Jam Vendetta, so I was excited when Icon came out, and it was just not for me.
It was so bizarre. It was like, I feel like it was just on some next level shit.
Like, you said that very softly.
Yeah.
Same with authority, Adam. Shit.
Well, I was like, you know, for the kids or whatever. But yeah, that game was cool. It wasn't a 360 exclusive for the record, but I bet you it looked better. That's one of those old games.
Yeah. Oh, forgot to mention the Fable games. So I guess we did have Fable 2 and
Phalo. I said Phalo.
Phalo. Yeah, that's Phalo. A combination of Halo and Fable.
I'd play Phalo. Fable fell off. I'm sorry. It fell off.
The third
off
one on did fall off, yeah.
Well, the first one
was nothing to scoff at. The second one was good.
The first one was a letdown for a lot of people.
Because Piermani, again, he connected that. He overhyped it. Overhypes. That's all Molyneux does is overhype.
That guy's a shuckster. He's a total shuckster.
Did Microsoft announce they were going to make a Fable game for the Xbox One?
Yeah, they showed it. It looks like the graphics look insane on it. It's four player. Looks kind of neat. I mean, I would never play it, but I'm sure Sean would.
Because I was kind of thinking that Fable might be one of those games that would continue to be made for the Xbox 360 while the Xbox One moves on, kind of like Kingdom Hearts on the PS2 during PS3 time.
I wonder if Fable sells. I mean, I guess it would have to if they keep making it, but that really seems to be – I guess they probably think that's like their Zelda, you know? That's why they keep doing it, but I don't know. It doesn't really seem like that would be a big seller for them to even mess with
it. It can't get on Zelda's level.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Yeah, anyway. But no, it was Fable 2 was good. Fable 3, yes, was a letdown. Then they did that arcade game for Fable, which was a joke.
The Kinect one?
No, it wasn't.
They did a Kinect one, too. Did you see that?
That's the Journey, Fable the Journey.
That actually was not an
arcade puppet one that they came out with.
Oh, they did like a little – yeah, and the currency would like swap into the other game, right? Something like
journey,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually kind of a neat idea. 360. Pretty good system. Though. It was definitely a successful experiment, I thought, for Microsoft.
It was definitely my system of choice for this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was mine, too. Yeah,
especially the first half of this generation, I was all on that 360.
And also, they got Square Enix on board with them too, which was quite shocking, you know, because Square Enix was traditionally,
that was huge when they announced
Sony
it.
Brand, yeah. When they
remember
got
the E3
on there, yeah.
There was a lot of salt from fanboys.
That was huge, right there, for Microsoft to get.
Yeah, that game that turned out to not be so great, right?
No, it was just Endless Corridors, but at the time we didn't know at that time how bad it was.
Yeah.
Got our hands on it. But it was big, you know. Also, yeah, this kind of took some of Sony's thunder. They got Metal Gear games are starting now. We got Metal Gear games coming out on Xbox consoles.
So, they got just about everything. The only thing I can think of they don't have some of those indies that Sony locked up, but they will because it's all about timed exclusives anymore. You can't really afford not to put your game on everything unless you're, unless it's a first party thing.
Yeah, unless it's a first party owned company like Naughty Dog. Like I'd never expect to see a Naughty Dog game. But then again, we did get like a Insomniac game, didn't we, on Xbox, which was kind of weird.
It just came out recently, didn't it? This summer.
Fuse, right?
I don't think it was supposed to be very good.
No, it wasn't that good, but it's the fact that it came out on
That was the one that was originally like kind of cell shaded and like really
kind of
borderlandish.
And then that was another big hit this year they kind of
pushed out and they were like, let's make it a little bit more edgy because that's what the kids like.
That's what the kids are digging in now.
It's too colorful. Why would you want a color? Like kids don't want color.
Add more of those browns and grays in there and those dark green. More browns, please. More browns.
Well, the big thing now is orange and blue. Cool color and warm color mix. I see that a lot in video games now. That's like the new thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I was going to probably wrap it up for 360. Let's get our final thoughts on the 360, guys. We'll start over there with Adam and work our way around the table.
The 360, we hardly knew ye. That's all I'm going to say. It's pretty good. I had some good times on it. But I kind of feel like we've broken up, and that we, you know, it was fun while it lasted, but we've met other people, the brand, you know.
What about you, John? What's your final say on the system? Final words.
Who?
Final words on the system.
Oh, me? Yeah, pretty much just a good night, sweet prince. I'll miss you.
I thought that was your response, was who?
Who?
I've already forgotten about the Xbox 360.
Moving on. We're on to better things now. I do PC stuff now.
I've met someone, yeah.
That's something. It's called my PC.
My phone.
What about you, Mike? What's your last words on the system?
Well, Xbox, you're definitely my favorite console for a good year or two. But then we kind of started going our separate ways, and I started headed towards Sony. And all I have to say about that is it's not me, it's you, Xbox. But hopefully this Xbox One might entice me to go pick one up. It won't be the first console I pick up, but, you know, you will be Miss Xbox.
Got dumped by all three of us.
What I have to say is
turned
Xbox.
It out and dumped it.
Xbox, I never liked you. You were just a necessity. I went through six of you damn systems. I'm over it. Bring on the PlayStation. Bring on my Nintendos. And we'll see about getting an Xbox One. We'll see. But that's going to wrap it up on that, guys. Let's go ahead and move on to our next commercial break, and we'll see you after that.
Haribo, probieren Sie die einzig wahren deutschen Gummibärchen und nicht den amerikanischen Scheiß. Die schmecken nur ranzig und nach Kotze. Die Bären, die Frösche, die Schnecken, alles super lecker und billig ist es auch noch. Kaufen Sie das Original, vertrauen Sie mir. Haribo macht Kinder, aber nicht die Amerikaner.
All right, guys, welcome back to another fun installment of the Game Buddy Funcast. In this segment, we're going to do our memoir of the Sony PlayStation 3. I hardly knew ye. But, yeah, Sony, though, you know, gets a lot of flack, you know, losing the credit card numbers and being down for, like, what, 2-3 months?
Well, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I'm going to jump here because we started a lot of shit with the Xbox. I'm going to start on some shit with
Sony.
Well,
you're skipping a lot of shit. The thing launched.
Well, we'll go back. We'll
so
forget.
Let's start with the thing was $600 at launch, and that did not go over well at all, did it? I don't think it did.
The thing did not sell. No, it didn't.
It was $600. It didn't really
but
have
it was
any
a Blu-ray
games.
Player, though. It was a
it,
Blu-ray
it did play
player.
Blu-rays. Yeah, it had a very rocky. Well, you know, I would even argue that that system didn't really get good until
year two,
probably two, three years ago.
Yeah, like, it definitely took some time for PlayStation to get off their asses. But mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the time the first Uncharted game came out is when it was starting to come around.
Well, that was 2007. So it was practically new. So it was still kind of. It was popular to hate on it then. Because, yeah, I remember when Uncharted came out, like, I was on its day one. And I just kept being like, hey, they finally have their game, and a lot of people didn't really buy it on that series until the second one, it seemed like.
Yeah, and a lot of people didn't get onto it until the second one.
The first one was really good. That's still my favorite one.
It was too much shooting. That was my only gripe with the Uncharted game.
It was a fun shooter, though, I thought.
Platform a little bit, then a bunch of shooting. Too much shooting, a bunch of shooting. More waves, more enemies. Tad bit of platforming, more enemies.
True.
Shoot.
2007, that was totally awesome in 2007, though. I'm sorry, it was. It's cool. But anywho. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Very, very rocky start to the PS4, though, I would say. I think we could all agree on that.
I think we can agree.
I don't know about you guys, but I thought this console itself was so ugly.
It's hideous. I actually had one.
Yeah, I refused to buy the first version. I didn't buy it until they came out with the Slim.
But they have the backwards compatibility on that version.
And speaking of which, Sean, I have my original PlayStation that has the backwards compatibility.
That's the doorstop, right? That's your doorstop, right?
And it's used as a window prop, and I wish I could just turn my camera to it right now without unplugging it, but it makes a really good window opener thing. To be fair, though, this is a launch system from 06.
Yeah.
And it just conked out this summer, so I can't really be too mad at it. But it's ugly. I never really understood their obsession with the Spider-Man font that's on it. I guess because they own it.
Sony.
Yeah, they own the font, and they thought that looked really cool. But yeah,
they probably paid some designer lots of money for it. Mm-hmm. So like, well, we got to get our money's worth out of it.
It's very tacky.
And are they run out those boomerang controllers with it though?
See,
I wish it would have came out with the boomerang controllers.
I do too, because I think that may have actually been the most comfortable controller, but you never do because you never got to try it.
No, because right? it's like, oh, we're just gonna recopy the shot too.
I feel like we have to mention this. The controller was trash. It was really light, and it had it feels like they tacked on the motion stuff.
Plus, the analogs are too close to each other, too. Like, the analog sticks are too close to each other.
It's trash. No, it does have that D-pad, though, and the buttons are good. But,
placement
and stuff.
Is horrible on it.
Have you guys had one of those controllers malfunction on you guys?
The original one I did.
Yeah, the original one. It's like I get a little water on it, and it's like, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's broke. You can't
that thing used to wig out just randomly when it first came out, yeah.
Look
the original
Psy-Axis.
They came out with all the different fancy colors with that one. More so than what Xbox did. Now there's it's color of the week pretty much for PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
You want a pink controller? They got it. You want a blue controller? They got it. You want a green controller? You got it.
Since we're still talking hardware, I really have to give them credit. The second revision, the first PlayStation Slim, I think looks killer. Like, that's like one of my favorite looking systems. It's really, really slick, I thought.
Yeah.
The one I got.
Have you seen the new one, though, that came out last year? With the slide door?
Yeah, they went back to the
hideous. It is hideous.
I think they kind of fixed it with the PS4, though. At least that looks good. That looks like a good system.
Oh, yeah, I think PS4 looks great. But, man, to be fair, that the new PlayStation is so cheap that they probably took some shortcuts just on the manufacturing, but man, it's ugly because they got it so right with the first Slim.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But the only thing that's good, I can't believe they took away the backwards compatibility for it. I really can't believe
it was a cost thing.
But you know, that's that was Sony's thing right there.
The whole legacy thing.
They also wanted to push out those PS1 classics on the market. PS2, I'm sorry.
Hey, guys, do you think anyone would buy this off of me and be able to fix it and get any money off of it? The backwards compatible PS3?
You keep asking us that every, like, few shows or so. I say no. I should say leave it as a window stopper or a door stopper.
All right. It's a good-looking window piece, that's for sure.
Tell your kids 20 years from now, it's like, yep, that's what video game consoles used to look like. That Spider-Man font.
Yeah, I have a malfunctioning fat PS3 that has been sitting in the trunk of my car for like 2 years now.
Just chilling.
I was trying to see if like one of these game stores that buys broken PlayStations would buy it off me, but
well, they check the serial numbers on those. They can tell how old it is and stuff. I guess. Because I know a lot of places won't even take an old 360. They'll look up the serial number and be like, "Hell no! There's no way in hell I'm giving you anything for that." Yeah.
Well, the issue with mine is the problem with it was not you couldn't fix it. There's nothing you can do. It was broken for good. Mm-hmm. So whenever I would take it into one of these stores and they would ask you, "Oh, what's wrong with it?" And I would tell them, you know, you get nasty marks on the screen, then it just blanks out. And I don't know, from the way I described it to them, they were quickly able to diagnose that, oh no, we don't want this thing.
Seems like Sony always sidesteps their hardware failures, because we were just talking about how the 360 was a complete lemon, but the PS3, like most people I know, had to replace their PS3 as well, so it wasn't the most reliable piece of hardware.
Yeah, the PS3.
If
your PS3 went down, it went down for good.
It was the yellow blink of death, isn't that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
They called it. Yep.
Yeah, people want to always forget about that because people just love Sony products on the internet. They're just all over that. they eat it up inside. But like I said, it was a good console. I mean, I had it for like a little bit of time. I didn't have it stay as long as you guys, so I didn't get to play all the great games on it.
I bought a total of 3 games for the PS3.
I have let me count them right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 11 games for the PlayStation 3. That's not counting. That's the actual Blu-ray disc. I probably have quite a few of the PSN titles, the downloadable games, which I really thought was their strong suit, was their downloadable stuff.
Looking at my collection, I got about 60.
Wow.
I'm a very big PS3. Well, I'm a big Xbox guy, too. I have like 100 Xbox 360s. But yeah, I have a lot of PS3
stuff. You have 100 Xbox 360s, huh?
360 games.
So, Sean, do you want to talk about exclusives?
Exclusives.
Are we ready?
I guess we can get into the exclusive talk a little bit. But first, before we get on that, I want to go ahead and talk about, you know, the failure of the PSN.
Oh, the compromise.
Yeah, how are you going to let somebody hack into your system?
I think that was sensationalized
a bit. Then go down for like 2 or 3 months. How do you let that happen?
Well, how long? It was down. Realistically, it was down for like 2 weeks, wasn't it?
It's 2 months. It was really like 2 months.
No. Yeah. Was it really, John?
Yeah.
It was. Because at the time, I primarily used the PS3 as my Netflix box. And I was so mad, you couldn't even use the Netflix when PSN went down.
It was really 2 months.
It was at least a month, yeah.
Wow. That was a complete disaster. That really was. But I feel like
They did make up for it, starting to do the giving away free stuff on PSN Plus when they came out with that.
None of them were anything I was even remotely interested in. I think I downloaded sucks and put it away.
But the fact is, they were the first ones to really start giving away free games like that.
Well, it seemed like things turned around for them right after that. The way they responded to the situation, and I'm almost guessing that there was probably a lot of people that were let go over that were replaced by more competent people. Like, it really seemed like things got better for them like right after that, like the year or so following that incident.
Yeah, it really turned around for them. That's when they really started to catch fire.
Yeah,
they had so many good games come out around that time too.
Yeah.
Let's go into the exclusives a little bit right now, guys.
You have a lot of first-person shooters that I don't really think anyone cared about.
Yeah, I didn't care about Killzone. I still don't care about Killzone.
What was Alien when they launched with that? I actually thought was kind of cool.
Killzone, wasn't it?
No, Resistance.
Resistance, okay.
That was kind of neat for a launch game, I thought. It was okay. That never really took off. I think they've tried so hard to kind of make their Halo, and it never really happened. But they have Uncharted, which I just like Gears. I thought the first two were great, and I lost interest after that. All the really cool indie stuff on PSN. You had Flower.
What else?
You had some weird. Journey. You had some really weird Japanese stuff, like Echo Chrome was really cool. What's another really weird Japanese one? Tokyo Jungle, which I've never played. It looked really good. You have all kinds of stuff. You have Twisted Metal, another one nobody cares about.
Yeah. Well,
that's actually one of my all-time favorite franchises. Don't ask me why. I'm not sure. Oh, it most likely because it was one of the first games I played on the original PlayStation.
Oh yeah, I like Twisted Metal. I don't really think like it sold, you know. Like
oh no,
yeah.
It was only online for the majority of it, right? It was like an online game pretty much.
Didn't it come with like Twisted Metal Black HD though?
I always wanted that.
The limited edition, which I'm sure is every copy of Twisted Metal, came with Twisted Metal Black.
That was a good game. Twisted Metal 2 was probably my jam. That's probably my favorite one.
Little Big Planet.
I really thought the first one was really fresh when that came out, but I was totally uninterested in it by the time the sequel came out. I don't know.
Same here.
It was a really cool novelty at first, but it just didn't. I don't know. I thought I'd really be into the whole creation aspect of it, but after fiddling around with it like for 15 minutes, I was like, I think I just want to play their levels. I don't really want to mess with this. I have to give them credit. They really got behind the whole you create games, Mod Nation Racers, all that stuff where it's like you create the levels and stuff. They were really big on that. And I don't really think that was an experiment. I didn't think that really worked out. I don't think people want to create their own stuff.
Well, people when they buy a console on Xbox game. One. They're going to do that on Xbox One with Project Spark.
Yeah. I don't think it'll sell. I don't think people will really respond to it. I think people, when they buy a game, they, at least on a console, it's not, I think it's a little different on PC. They just want to not really have to do much work. They just want to play it. You know, you're the professional game designer. You make the game. Yeah. But they were very experimental with their games, which I have to give them credit for.
You know, one game.
Infamous was another exclusive. Sorry to cut you off there, Mike, but no Infamous.
No, God of War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One game in particular that was exclusive to the PlayStation that I loved was Heavy Rain. I don't know if you guys played it much.
I played it.
I really liked it.
I had problems with it, but it was neat. I thought it was like a really bad French movie.
It had some bad controls, but I enjoyed it.
It was the acting, I think, that really bugged me. Because everyone was clearly French, but they were trying to do American accents.
I wasn't nearly as bothered by that.
It bugged me. It was a neat idea, though. They're coming out with that new one.
The Ellen Page movie's going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It's the same guy.
Yeah, the Ellen Page movie.
You guys hear Microsoft's recent statement about the reason why they didn't include Heavy Rain in their lineup?
Because they didn't like the kidnapping, right?
Yeah.
But, what a bunch of pussies. Yeah. Like, who cares? Like, you have Grand Theft Auto on your system. You could get you can kill a hooker, but you can't have that. You know, that's weird.
They put out Saints Row before PlayStation.
Yeah. It's like, who cares? What's the big deal? Hey, you know what? I don't think I've ever addressed this on this show. It's probably a good thing that I wasn't on that first episode with Tony where he talked about Last of Us, because I don't think we'd be buddies now. But that game, overrated, not very good. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't have much to say about that because I've kind of been holding off on it since my fall season is coming, and this is the season where I play my survival horror, so I haven't really gotten to it yet. So
it's not very scary, I'll tell you that right now. Not very scary. I don't know. Just to, you know, play it. I'm like probably the only person on the internet that doesn't think it's that great. But I'm just saying, like, don't believe the hype on that game. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, the prologue was amazing. I did play some of it.
Oh, you already own it?
Yeah, I own it.
Okay.
I'm just holding off on it. Played it with some buddies and
I'm looking forward to trying it out, but I haven't picked it up yet.
I've seen some videos on a PS3 right now, so
I think it's already had a price drop.
I'll pick it up when it's like $20.
All right. Well, make sure you tell me when you start that up, because I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say about it, John.
We'll get it on the show. John's take on it, and we'll get Tony on the show, too.
Well, John won't play it for like 2 years, so hopefully we're still doing the show.
Episode 100 by then.
Do you guys play some of the early PS3 games, like Dark Kingdom?
I don't even remember that.
What's the other one that I'm thinking of? I can't. There's a Golden Axe game, I want to say.
Like Sega Golden Axe? I remember they tried to make a new one, yeah.
Wasn't there some chick-like version of God of War that came out early?
Heavenly Sword.
That's the game.
That's the game I'm talking about.
It seemed kind of neat. That was made by Ninja Theory, who went on to make Enslaved and Devil May Cry. Yeah. It seemed kind of neat. It was like one of those early next gen games where the game just kind of played itself. Like what you about, just mash the button and it would just do a cutscene, but it had really cool graphics. Time events.
What about Lair, guys?
Wow.
Yeah.
The greatest game of all time.
The greatest game that they said would be the greatest game of all time, and it turned out not being.
And you know what? We believed them because that was – were they called Red Factor?
Red Factor, the guys that did
They made Rogue Squadron. Those games were amazing.
We thought, let's go.
It will be the
Dragons,
best game.
Be like Panzer Dragoon mixed with some Rogue Squadron in there. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That was the most brown game. You want to talk – we were talking about brown-gray game. That game was like – had a toilet filter on it. That game literally looked shitty. God, it was ugly.
And the controls were god awful in it because you didn't use the Silex or whatever.
Hey, you know what was crazy? You know what's crazy about that though? I don't know if it was the only one, but that was one of those games where you could actually stream it to your PlayStation portable. Like back then.
Yeah,
isn't that weird? So they're kind of doing the Wii U thing, like in 2007 or whatever. I'm trying to think of some other games. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna mention the RPGs on the PS3, like Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That's recent. They've been getting a lot of games, like just in the last year. They've really had a lot of stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
Well, you know, this always happens at the end of the generation, and especially happens on Sony consoles. You get all the weird Japanese stuff at the very end because there's nothing else to put out, and there's no risk, you know?
The Wii kind of did that with their trilogy.
Yeah, trilogy of games that they had a fight for a North American release.
I saw one of those goes for a decent amount of money, too. I don't know if it was
Xenoblade.
Yeah, I think Xenoblade's like they sell it for like $80 or something like that at EB. Did you hear what I said? EB.
Yeah, EB. Yeah.
Electronics Boutique.
You know, at one point, no GameStop/EB had that game, and now it's like widely available. I don't know how they did it, but
they're taking the new stickers off and making them used so they can sell them for $80. Like opening them up and putting them on the shelves so they can sell it for $80.
Yeah, that's exactly
they have to
what
follow.
I think is
that's
happening.
What they're doing. I have an inside source that's telling me that's what they're doing.
That's horrible.
I bet you do. PlayStation 3. The Spider-Man font of video game consoles.
Yeah, there's some great stuff on PS3 though, guys. But yeah, let's just go ahead and go around the table again and just last words for or dearly departed PlayStation 3.5.1.
I give it 3 out of 5 Dreamcasts.
There you go.
Yeah, it definitely played Blu-rays. That's what I had to say about it.
Well, it's a phenomenal movie player.
Phenomenal.
It's a cinematic console. Dead serious. Put that on the back of the box. It's a cinematic console.
Put that on the tombstone right there.
Yeah, the cinematic console. The movie lover's console.
The HD lover's console. All right, so Mike, go ahead and give your last words now.
Well, I definitely love my PS3, but it's going to be laid to rest along with the Twisted Metal franchise, which I'm kind of bummed about. And I don't know. I guess it's time to go. It's time to move on. But it was definitely a great console.
PlayStation 3, I hardly knew you. Kind of stabbed me in the back there of the high price at launch. So that's why I never picked you up. But I figure, why not go in with the PS4? It feels like they might have it together. So I'm not going to say I'm going to miss you, PS3, but I know there will be people that will miss you. And to that, have a great evening, everybody. This was the Game Buddy Funcast.
I need to go, man. I need to get something to eat.
Why have you eaten? I thought it was after your eating time. I thought you ate from 3 to 8 was your allowed.
Dude, it's almost after midnight, dude. You can't eat. You'll turn into a gremlin. Don't do that.
I'm hungry, man.
Well, do you want to turn into a gremlin, sir? I've seen that movie. I know what happens.
So after like a year and a half of not eating at Taco Bell, I was driving home and like it was pretty much the only thing open. So I was like, all right, I'll get some tacos.
Did you get one of those fiery Locos tacos?
No, I got some tacos and a Mexican pizza. That was the nastiest shit. I will never eat at Taco Bell again.
Oh, come on.
It is disgusting.
Come on. Don't be that guy.
It tasted like baking soda.